This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Simon Bathier from the winery Noella Bibelia.
Yes.
In Rías Baixas in Spain, near Pontevedra. How are you?
Yes, hello Chris. It's a big pleasure to me to talk to you today.
Excellent. We're here in your winery, just having a bit of a chat. We're going to talk a wee bit about your new operation here, and also a little bit about Rías Baixas in general, the wider area, and just try and put you into context there. You make wine in Rías Baixas. Do you want to just tell us, is it said Rías Baixas?
Yes, we are in Rías Baixas, but we are in a sub area of Rías Baixas whose name is Sotomayor. It's the smallest one and not very famous, but it has an historical relevation in a local area as a good producer of Albariño.
Well, Albariño is the key grape variety, but do you want to tell us, we're in Spain, so where in Spain is Rías Baixas?
Rías Baixas is a wine region in the northwest of Spain. It's not a typical climate of Spain,
no.
Because Rías Baixas, it rains a lot.
Yeah.
As you can see, the landscape here, it's more similar to Scotland than any other part of Spain.
Yeah, it's green, that's the key thing.
It's very green,
yeah.
And very mountainous.
Yeah.
And our region is more similar to Portugal than even to Spain, because we are very next to Portugal.
Yeah.
As you know, Albariño is a famous grape that are cultivated by Rías Baixas appellation, but to the north of Portugal too.
Yep. As you say, they do Albariño, or they call it Alvarino in
yes.
Portugal.
Yes, the pronunciation is the same. We write Albariño different, but the pronunciation is the same. But maybe the way of making, we have the same grape, but maybe the way of making wine is a bit different from here to Portugal. Portugal wines use it to have a very a bit sparkling. They
yep.
love it, this Vinho Verde region.
Yep.
It's very common to have this little
spritz.
Spritz, but not here.
Your winery, it's quite a new winery. How big is it?
Well, the size it's very small. It's about 20,000 bottles each year. Despite that, we produce more than half of the production of Sotomayor. So you can imagine how small is Sotomayor area.
Yeah,
and it's very new. Yes, we started, my wife and me, because this project is from my wife and me, that we started in 2010. And we started with nothing. We didn't have a winery. We didn't have a vines. Even we didn't have a land to make the plantation. We started absolutely with no any knowledge. So we have to learn how to make wine. We have to buy the landscape. We have to make the plantation, buy tanks, a tractor. You can imagine it.
Crazy. Yeah. And expensive,
of course. And we're starting to sell wine in 2016, I think, because the first 5 years the vines you have to work, but with no results. It was very hard at the beginning.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not we are very very happy, because we are selling wine all over the world, in United States, Canada, north of Europe, UK, of course.
Yep.
And we are increasing our production every year. Not too much, but every year we increase more and more bottles. We think that in 5-6 years we will reach the biggest size of our winery, about 40,000-50,000 bottles.
Okay, but it's still quite small. It's about 7 acres, you were saying earlier, wasn't it? So
we have just increase our parcel. At this moment, we have about 11 acres.
Oh, okay.
The website information is not updated.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. I had a look at your vineyard, and I've been driving around Pontevedra for a wee bit today, having a look around and looking at the different vineyards. And a couple of things have come out at me about Rías Baixas. The first is that There's no real big vineyards anywhere. They all seem to be quite small parcels of vineyards all dotted all over the place. Is there any place that they have like hundreds of hectares of vineyards anywhere around here? Because I haven't seen any.
I think that is because most of the parcels we have in Rías Baixas are very, very small. And all these plantation hotel vineyards are cultivated by local families. Most of the land are in hands of families, not in hands of big corporations, big companies. That's why it's like a Burgundy or any other areas in the world that works that. And yeah. If you see the land, it's very mountainous. Not a big parcel here, no, yeah. Definitely.
I was when I was looking at it, I was trying to work out whether it was inheritance, you know, like in Burgundy, where the land just keeps getting diced up into smaller and smaller chunks, or whether it was because the climate is quite humid and therefore you're just looking for certain aspects on the sides of certain hills and there's only little parts that were suitable for viticulture.
Yes, that's true. Because if you are very next to a river, for example, you have problems with mildew. If you have higher than 100 meters, you have frozen in winters. At the end, you have to choose very, very... Not every place is good for wine. Yes, that's another reason, maybe.
Yeah. I noticed that your vineyard is sort of facing... It looks, I think, it was facing towards the evening sun, sort of south-southwest facing?
No, it's absolutely south.
South, is it?
South, yes.
Oh, okay. It was a bit earlier in the day. Okay, so you're on a slope facing pretty south, pretty much south, which is great for ripeness.
Yes, in this area, fertility is very high. As I told you, it rains a lot in winter and even in the spring. So we need to find low productivity soils. And a slope, as you can imagine, is less productive than a flat parcel.
Is the slope because you get more drainage?
Of course.
Or is it the fact that the soils get thin on slopes?
The two things. Rain, it dries rains a lot, and nutrients of the soil. That's why we love this land, because it's a slope, low humidity in the soil. And at the end, you have smaller grapes, but more concentrated.
You said the region we're in is Sotomayor.
More or less, Sotomayor.
Sotomayor.
Yeah, it's not an easy word to pronounce.
Yeah, Sotomayor. So the region we're in is Sotomayor, and it's one of the smaller ones, but there's other sub-regions of Rías Baixas. A lot of people think of Rías Baixas as a single region, but it's made up of different sub-regions. What are the other sub-regions again?
Most famous and the biggest one is Salnés. It's in the north of the Rías Baixas appellation and is where you have the big wineries. I think about Condes del Barrey, Martin Kodak. We are talking about wineries with more than 1 million bottles per year. This is the most famous one. And the second, I think, it's Rosal. In this case, we are in the south of Galicia, just in the border with Portugal.
Quite close to the coast.
Yes. Their Albariños are a bit different because they have lower acidity. And even they used to introduce a second varietal like Loureira Outre Xadura in a 10-15% percentage or more that give them higher aromatic wines. Terras Gaudas, Santiago Ruiz are famous wineries from this area. And then there are five sub areas, as I told you, Salnés and Rosal. And now you have Condado de Otea and Ulla.
Yep.
These sub-areas are smaller and less famous, but...
I was trying to do a little bit of research on Rías Baixas before I came over, and the soils of most of the other regions seem to be very granite-based.
Yes, all over this area in Rías Baixas, the mother rock is always granite. The difference is in the top of the soils, because in some areas are more sandy than other areas.
Mm-hmm.
What we try, as I told you, is to find low fertility soils. That's why we love very sandy soils. And apart from that, between the mother rock and the top soil, we have intermediate level, where sometimes the granite is very soft, so roots can't penetrate it. In the local term we use to describe the soil is chabre. And every producer of Albariño try to find this kind of soils, these chabre soils, because has the ability to maintain the heat from day to night, you know.
Mm-hmm. You've talked about fertility quite a bit, and you've sort of alluded to the fact that it's quite wet here, and that's all good, but it does mean that you do have a lot of risks of rot and molds and mildew and all that sort of thing. And when we're in the vineyard, you're sort of showing me your vines, and they were quite different to a lot of the other vineyards I've seen in Rias Baixas, which is they're normally on pergolas, you know, so the vines are up high, and I think if I remember rightly, the grapes dangle down normally below the cordons, and you get nice air flow through. But here you've gone for vines that are much lower to the ground, not yes. too close to the ground. But
maybe you don't know it. But the reason of pergola system, the origins of pergola system in Rias Baixas, is because of the land. We, as I told you, we have very small parcels, and long time ago, we don't had wine to sell. Every family had their wine to their own consumption, mm-hmm. and in a pergola system, if you have very very small land, in a pergola system, what you can do is to have wine in the top and tomatoes or potatoes under the wine.
Yeah.
That's what started the pergola system here.
Okay.
Apart from that, there are some advantages too, of course. The uppier you are from the soil, the less risk to diseases.
That's because you're further away from the ground, which is wet, so you got less humidity
yes.
and drier. Yeah.
Yes. You are going to have less problems with mildew. But we started, as I told you, we started a few years ago, and we decided to take a risky decision, because the lower you are, the next to the soil you are, close you are to the ground, better maturation, more sugar, less acidity,
yeah,
especially malic acid.
Okay.
The problem with our wines is malic acid. If this pergola system usually have a higher contents of malic acid, and when you drink a wine, not a cup, but if you drink more than one cup with a high content of malic acid, at the end it you don't like it. It makes it very hard.
Yeah, the malic acid's sort of like the green apple acid. Yes. It's quite sharp.
Yes.
But normally you can do a malolactic fermentations.
Well, exactly. Not in Sotomayor, but in Salnés, in other areas of Rias Baixas, some years, not every year, but some years, they use it to make this malolactic fermentation.
Which converts malo acid to lactic acid, which is a softer, creamier acid.
Exact. But in this process, the nose of the wine changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a lot of fruit in your nose.
Yeah.
On the other part, the mouth is more soft. But well, in my case, in Sotomayor, the tradition is not to make malolactic. We don't have malic acid enough to make it.
Okay, so you're going for vines lower to the ground because you think you get less malic acid, slightly higher risk of mildew, but you're on a slope and you've got sandy soils, so you're hoping that it sort of means your mildew isn't
yeah.
too strong.
That's what we find.
Yeah, yeah. And is that what's coming through?
Yes, yes. Even easier than what we thought in the beginning. Maybe because every year the climate is changing, and every year is more and more heat. Yeah.
Okay, so are you finding it getting a little bit warmer here? But that will increase your humidity. The warmer it is, quite often, particularly if you're near a water source like the Atlantic, the warmer it gets, the more humidity you land up with.
It's less humidity. It rains less. The climate is changing. Summers are very hard, hot, and no rain at all.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's your
summer, not rain, and very, very hot.
So the climate's actually getting better.
So we are not having big problems with mildew in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And even we are not having problems with maturity, with maturation. We are not having problems with it.
The other thing I noticed was that, you know, I was saying that a lot of the other vineyards I saw around Pontevedra use pergolas, but you're not. The way you've done your vines are a little bit strange. It's a cordon, so you've got a trunk coming up, and then you've got a lot of bark coming off it.
But it's not so strange at all. It's a very famous system whose name is Silvoth.
Silvoth, is it?
That are used in a lot of varietals and all over the world. Silvoth is a very common system in viticulture.
Not the ones I've seen, but that's all right. So the Silvoth system, from what I could see, was, as I said, it was a trunk going up with a cordon, which is a thick branch going across. And normally you'd have spurs going off that, short spurs with a couple of buds, and they would have shoots. But in this case, you've actually got almost like a cane that's been pulled down below lower. It's a much longer spur with quite a few buds on it that you replace every year. So it's a sort of a mixture of a cordon and a replacement cane where you've got a...
Yes, we have to replace this cane every year.
Yep.
And we have about 3-4 canes for every plant.
Yep. Why do you do that?
We use this system because Albarino varietals has a particular behavior, and is that the first, second buds are not productive at all. That's why we need to make this spur quite long, because the third, fourth, and fifth buds are more productive.
They're the ones you want.
The ones.
Do you actually rub out the buds on the first and second? Do you remove them, or?
No, because we can't do that, because the first and the second is the buds we need to use the next year to make the...
I'm with you. Yeah, okay.
We have to replace this every year.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Otherwise, you'll end up with your cordon coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see
that. We have problem. To avoid it.
I was reading on your website that you're not organic, but you don't... You sound like you desperately want to be organic, but you're not. The way you described it was because of the mildew risks.
Yes, when we started, we tried to do it absolutely organic. But we realized that it would be very difficult to be 100% organic and economic sustainable.
Yep.
So we want to leave from the winery. So
we
have to make a trade-off decision between to use some kind of spray product and to be the most organic we can, but not absolutely. We are not 100% organic. And that's it, because mildew. Mildew in Rias Baixas is a big problem. And we are not talking about a 10, 20% of the production down. We are talking about 80 or 90% bad year. So that's something we can...
Is there many organic producers in Rias Baixas?
I only know one.
One?
Yes, in the area of Rosal,
okay.
Whose name is Corisca. But you can imagine, if there is only one producer, something happens. It must be very difficult.
Yeah, especially when you compare it to, say, inland areas where it's just dry and it's so easy.
I don't know how they do it. They have a nice wine. I have tried it. It's named Corisca, yes.
Yeah, okay. The last question I've got is, you actually have a couple of rows of red wines here. What are they?
Well, Rias Baixas is a region very known for white wine, okay? But our parents or most of the neighbors' families here used to drink red wine. There are red wine all over the region, but only for self-consumption, not to sell and not to export. Okay. And when we decided to make the plantation, nobody recommended us to plant red. But we decided at the end to plant only two rows. And well, we are starting trying. It's very difficult to have a good red wine in Rias Baixas because in October it rains a lot here.
Okay.
So you have to harvest before October, and not every year the grape has a maturation enough to make the harvest. That's why some year we can make a good wine, but other years it's impossible.
Okay.
Apart from that, as you know, our vines are very young, and in red wine that's a big problem. You need older vines to make a good and concentrated red wine. So you will have to wait at least 5-10 more years to try a good red wine.
Excellent. All right then, Simon, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
It was my pleasure.
Cheers, mate.